This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Then have it in excess that leads you away from the path of truth, that you enter into Zulian. وَغِنَ النُّفُوسِ هُوَ الْكَفَى. That if you have the enrichment in your heart, in your soul, then this is all that you truly will need and be sufficed by. فَإِنْ أَبَتْ فَجَمِيعُ مَالِ الدُّنْيَا لَا يَكْفِيهَا. Because if your soul cannot enjoy contentment and be able to say this is enough and sufficient, then the wealth of the world in its entirety will not suffice you. هِيَ الْقَنَاعَ. It is to have an accepted contentment with your circumstance. فَالْزَمْهَا. Maintain it in life. تَكُنْ مَلِكَ. You will rule over all things like a king. وَانْظُرْ إِلَى مَنْ جَمَعَ الدُّنْيَا بِأَجْمَعِهَا هَرَّاحَ مِنْهَا بِغَيْرِ الْقُطْنِ وَالْكَفَنِ. And look to the one who gathered the splendor and the riches of the world. Did they depart it with anything other than cotton sheets that enshrouded them? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, as the Prophet said, al-ghina ghina nafs, in wealthiness and self and sufficiency is what is in your soul. It's how you consider your life. Rizq is more important in the indeterminate, in the things that are not metric. Rizq is in the contentment of heart, in the friends that you can confide in and have in support. The great rizq of the Prophet ﷺ are the likes of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wa abdah. The great rizq of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khadija and Aisha radiallahu anhun. The great rizq of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his grandchildren and Hassan and Hussein. The great rizq of the Prophet in this dunya is that he had a heart that had no malice towards others, even those who sought to harm him and wrong him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'een. Allah says, I will be the one who will suffice you against those who ridicule you. Because the Prophet's heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was incapable of having such callousness that he could not outsee and see those same people in a better condition if they came to a moment of truth and love for Allah. So Allah said, I will be the one to deal with them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nuh alayhi salam, the first of messengers, was given a mandate by Allah. This mandate necessitated that his people would have to give up some of the vices that they had begun to practice. The first and foremost was that they began to establish connections of worship, love, and fear for other than Allah. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ tells us in the authentic hadith of Imam al-Bukhari that it took almost more than 10 generations from people to stray from the truth of Tawheed into beginning to worship and attempt to worship idols and things that are reprehensible in that fact. How did it begin? وَدَّا وَسُوَاعَ وَيَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَصْرَ. These were names of righteous people. They were celebrated ancestors and elders. And it's such an important archaeological and anthropological subtlety in the Quran. The very essential stories of Aboriginal cultures, of Native Indian cultures, that describe the Great Spirit, the God of all gods, all of them have an essence of Tawheed. But where you see that shirk begins to enter is they begin speaking about their ancestors. There's a reverence for their ancestors, the people who were here before us. There is a connection to them that goes just beyond that these were nice people, or they had, you know, they sacrificed for us, or they moved from one place to another. It comes to a place where you see that there was a moment where the shaitan entered into this conversation and turned the key that led towards shirk. The Prophet describes this in the hadith of Bukhari by saying that the righteous amongst their community, when they would pass away, the people would commemorate them by retaining some of their clothing or some of their cushions or things that symbolized them. And there was no negative effect in the first generation or second. People would say, You know, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, this is what he used to wear. This is where he used to sit. This is his staff that he used to hold. This was the temple, the crown that he used to wear, and it would be honored in that way. But by the time it came to the 10th generation, those artifacts became relics that if you need something, go speak to your grandfather, great, 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 great grandfather. You can ask him. He's one who was so legendary. He was now be made into a mythological figure. And people now began to seek to take barakah, to seek to take blessing, to seek to protect themselves from harm by calling out to these very same names. Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him to bring people back to Tawheed. That there is no power, no authority, no place to turn but Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That there is nothing that you depend on and must reject all others before you can come to the truth of Allah. La ilaha illallah. That when they asked him, what is it that you've come with? Ani'budullaha. That your worship, your commitment, the word worship here, the context of it, it is a completion of love and humility before an object or a place or a thing, seeking increase or protection from decrease. This is what they wanted from their idols. If you were to ask them, لَإِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? They would say, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes within our societies as Muslims, we have the same problem. You know, there's a huge, huge picture of a loved great-grandfather or grandfather for a community, for a family. And it's almost as if people say, you know, he's looking down upon us now, right? You can kind of see that in some other cultures. Alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we seek to be protected from this. But that veneration, that it almost becomes an iconic deification. It's also what happened to Isa alayhi salam and others. There's that progress towards that. And that's why Muslims were very careful with things like pictures. There were sculptures at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were master artists at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were people who could capture his image for us and do it with incredible precision. But that was never done. It wasn't done not because nobody loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, didn't want to remember him, but because the memory that is meant to last is meant to be what he came with, not the physicality of his person. Peace and blessings be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nuh calls us people to tawheed, and they reject. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for 950 years, and it's important to contextualize what this means, that Nuh alayhi salam, generation after next, it's not everybody in a society lived for so long. And it's not necessarily that this is a condition where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Nuh anything other than a miracle for his people. He is outliving generations. And each and every consecutive generation, their lifespan was short. He would call them to Tawheed, but they would go further away from the truth. They would go further away from the truth. They go further away from the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites Nuh alayhi salam to continue calling. Inni da'awtuhum laylan wa nahara. He says, oh Allah, day and night, night and day, I'm calling them to you. Walam ajid, I can't find any of them, none of them receptive, except a few of the family members in my household. Those who are missing is his wife. And what an incredible statement in Surah Al-Tahreem. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah gives an example of disbelief. Imra'ata Nuh, the wife of Nuh, wa imra'ata Lut, and the wife of Lot. Subhanallah. Allah is going to say, I'm going to tell you about the disbelievers. And then he names prophets of Allah, their family. It's an incredible statement. In the next ayah, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. And Allah gives an example to those who believe in the wife of Pharaoh, the greatest tyrant of historical figures. And such, Allah draws for us this important principle. that truth is not recognized through connection and relationship. Truth is not assumed through bloodline and through marriage. Truth and the acceptance of it is not guaranteed for any of us, for ourselves, our homes, and our families. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to know from very early on in the Quran that you must approach Allah. You must remain vigilant upon Tawheed. You must be reminding of your family, as Ibrahim was, of the importance of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and consistency and constancy in prayer. Can you imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam asks Allah, وَجَنُّبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ, protect me and my children from worshipping idols. Ibrahim, that's one of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. How could Ibrahim, the one who smashed the idols, fear them, fear that he could at any time lose some connection with Allah that leads him further away from truth? Because that's the reality. There are things in our life that we adore, that we love. There are tests that can come, that can shake faith. I want to share something personal with you. Last night, after Salatul Taraweeh, I visited the house of Musa Serin, one of the dear family friends in our community here in Perth, a prominent Turkish family, mashallah. His son, 22 years old, was working first day of Ramadan. He was driving a rescue vehicle, a truck that he was helping two elderly women, 70 years old, helping them with their car from one place to another. And qadr Allahu ma sha'a fa'al, they were in a collision head on, and he instantaneously passed away 2 hours before breaking fast on the first day of Ramadan. Subhanallah, an incredible test. Some of the things that you and I fear the most, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, is the loss of a son and daughter. Subhanallah. You know, it's unbelievable what pain that would bring. But of greater loss is that you have a zombie who walks this world disconnected from Allah. Is that you have a son and daughter whose iman is not existent, whose physical state, whose breath in and out is present, whose consumption is present, who's physically next to you, but they are so far away from Allah, from you. And subhanAllah, as I was leaving his home after making a small talk for the hundreds who were gathered, each and every night gathered there in their home, I give a short talk to the young man as well. He said, he put his hand on my knee. He said, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Yahya. Alhamdulillah, he died with iman. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, he died with iman. Nuh alayhi salam, was tested with a son whose pride was bigger than the mountains. Nuh was told to warn his people that if they don't maintain the truth, that the condition of their life that they pride themselves on, their wealth and the rain and the vegetation, will depart. And it is Allah who's in control. So they rejected. So Allah began to remove their barakah. The heavens dried up. The heavens dried up and the earth began to not fruit. The earth began to not share its barakah as it was. Their livestock began to die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a test, that if they were to come to the truth, I will open it for them. قُلْ نَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Allah said, say to them, Ya Nuh, make istighfar to Allah. Ask Allah to forgive you. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will return the heavens again with its rain and barakah. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. He will help you with your vegetation and your prosperity and your children. Everything will be provided for you and will give you the strength that you so seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا لَكُمْ مَا لَكُمْ. What's wrong with you? لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. That you don't seek to find your strength and your honor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After years of drought, Nuh is ordered to build a ship in what is now a desert. No rivers, no sea. People begin to ridicule him. His family, those who disbelieve, are ashamed of him. His wife badmouths him. His son is distant from him. And Nuh maintains the course, laylan wa nahara, night and day, I will invite you to the truth. Until finally, Nuh makes the dua that we know in the Quran, O Allah, bring down the righteous punishment upon these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fatahna as-samaa bima'in munhamir. I opened the heavens and it hammered them down with rain. Wafajjarna al-ard. The earth erupted with its aquifers and its water, and the land began to flood, and a tsunami entered upon them. And everybody runs to the ship who has faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's at this moment that the son sees that everything the father said was true. So Nuh, and here is the moment of pride that leads to the mountain. Allah says in Surah Hud, وَنَادَ نُوحٌ إِبْنَهُ. Even after all of this, Nuh's heart as a father, my son, إِرْكَبْ مَعَنَا. Come to the ship. وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Do not be like those who remain unbelievers. Come on the ship means enter into your belief in La ilaha illallah, because I will never change what is wrong to be what is right just because you're my son. I will not give you access just because you have a blood connection to me, or that I raised you, or that you may make a parental claim on me. This isn't my ship. This ship is the ship of salvation. It is a representation of Jannah and hellfire. It is a representation of truth and falsehood. Ya bunayya arkab, make the choice to ride with Iman with us. Qala sa'awi ila jabal. I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't need your ship. I don't need your God. I don't need your faith. I'm going to climb that mountain. I can save myself. The audacity of a corrupt soul. I am my own God. I am the one who makes decisions. I am the one who decides. I will be the one who can make my own path. I am free. I choose. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects that misunderstanding and misassumption. There is no I. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as he begins to head up the mountain, Nuh continues with his hand outstretched. Come back. Come to the truth. Come to faith. And his son begins to climb. His father says, La عاصم اليوم, no protection is there today. من أمر الله, from the order of Allah, إلا من رحم, except the one who has been given rahmah, meaning iman, faith. وحال بينهما الموت فكان من المغرقين. And the waves crashed, and he saw his son drown before him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from seeing any of our children, any of our loved ones, any of our dear and beloved to our hearts in any condition other than tawheed, and in any condition other than happiness and safety. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to adjust to the truth, and that we are guides of their hearts and their behavior. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from the fitna of Nuh that he was tested with. Allahumma ameen. But may Allah also learn from the laws given to us through Nuh's test. Three important laws I want you to maintain with yourself and your family. First, my dear brother, my dear sister, is know that hidayah is only in the hand of Allah. And the hidayah of irshad, the hidayah of us inviting people to the truth, is not necessarily going to be the hidayah that enters into the heart. You and I are commanded to continue day in, day out, even to the last moment, even to the moment where the waves are crashing, to have our hand outstretched, our commitment to inviting to the truth, our desire to bring them back. Our door is open for them on the condition of them being right with Allah. But we are a conditional people in our households. There is no legitimizing what is illegitimate. There is no turning from truth to that which is turning falsehood into that which is truth. Finally, inshallah, I wish to move on to the second section, in that is we learn that the power of Allah is absolute. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is unquestioned of his decisions in this life and in the next. Allah says, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah is not questioned, but they will be the ones who are held accountable and questioned by him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we have to understand that there will be at times tests in life that require for you and I to have to work through the problem, seeking a solution, but recognizing in our heart that perhaps the solution we seek is not the resolution Allah will give. Nuh alayhi salam is not a negligent father. Nuh alayhi salam did not fail in educating his wife and son of the truth. Nuh alayhi salam is not one who had or could have changed his parental techniques. Nuh alayhi salam is not one who mistreated his son, and for this reason, the toxic relationship manifests in this way. Sometimes there are bad things that will occur even to good people, and the power of Allah is absolute. You and I must be reconciled in our heart that there will be at times tests that are bitter, and it's not because we deserve them, and they are not a punishment from Allah. Allah is not punishing Nuh by turning his son's faith away from the truth. Allah is not punishing Nuh by causing his family not to adhere to the truth. And sometimes we have this callous disregard in our communities where somebody is experiencing a trauma and a difficulty in their household, and there's these whispers or this stigmatization that is made. Oh, you know, if they paid more attention when they were younger, things would have turned out different. Perhaps, you know, this child didn't get enough love at home. You know, these kind of sinful whispers, sinful gossip that is not entirely and ever necessarily true. There are moments of it that are true. There are toxic relationships, yes. But not all bad outcomes were because of bad beginnings. Sometimes people make bad decisions for themselves, irrespective of the love they were given with their families. And Allah wants you as a believer to know that perhaps in your life you may have this test. Perhaps in your life you will see it as the Prophet saw it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet saw uncles double. You know, Abu Lahab, the villain of the Quran, cursed and condemned in the Quran, even in our recitation to this day, an uncle to the Prophet ﷺ. The uncle, Abu Talib, the father of Ali ibn Abi Talib. the father of, you know, the great, the brother of Hamza, the brother of Ja'far. These people did not come to faith, even though the one calling, the one living with them, the one embedded with them is their home. So in all current circumstances, I want you to remember the word Allahu Akbar. It's the first thing you're going to say in the ears of your newborn. That the first word that we heard entering into this world is that Allah put this child into my arms and I turned them so in their right ear, I began to softly say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The last thing you and I want to hear is an imam standing at our janazah and saying, Allahu Akbar. That's why Salatul Janazah is full of takbir. Because the sum of your life is the adhan that is made for you that you hope to answer the rest of your life and the takbir that is made for you as you enter into your grave. But even in hearing that, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I want it to reverberate in your heart. Allah is greater than the trauma you find yourself in. Allah is greater than the difficulty you are in. Allah is greater than the challenge that is found in your household. Allah is greater than the one who is straying from the truth. Allah is greater than the love you have for a child or a member of your household who has left the path. Allah is more important to you than them. Allahu Akbar must permeate in your heart, in your mind, as you move forward through the challenges of life. And each and every time you hear the adhan, each and every time you raise your hand in takbiratul ihram, each time you say Allahu Akbar, as you stand before Allah, put all of this on your shoulder, and as you fall into ruku', let it fall off. As you put your head into the ground, let it soak away from you in your dua to Allah, Allahu Akbar. What other condition could Nuh have than to say Allahu Akbar? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead us and our homes to that which is righteous and that which is blessed, Allahu Akbar. Finally, Nuh asks Allah. One of the moving sections of Surah Hud is that after the ship has found its stability, and after they have been sailing for a number of days, Nuh's pain in his heart remains, subhanAllah. And not because we assume the power of Allah is complete, not because everything in our heart reassures us of the outcome, that doesn't mean we cannot converse with Allah and ask for questions of our imams on account of some of the conditions that we have met. وَنَادَى نُوحٌ Nuh summons and calls out to Allah. Oh Allah, you promised that you would save me and my family, أهلي, my family. But you drowned, you caused, you let my son not come to faith, oh Allah. My son drowned before me. He says, Ya Allah, my son, he has not come to faith. He drowned in front of me, oh Allah. How am I going to continue in life? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Nuh asks Allah, Innahu min ahli. He is from my family. You promised to save my family, oh Allah. He's from my bloodline. And Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. Rather, he is not from your family. He is chosen. He has chosen the act and the sinful deviance that has made him more family to sin than he is to you. And I want you to kind of hear the context of that and understand it. That there comes a point in our life where at times we must move through the pain of the loss of a loved one to sin, of the loss of a loved one to the dunya, We must move past keeping it just in our heart and finding angst between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we put in our heart a desire to free ourselves of that burden and to let things return to Allah. In Nuh alayhi salam asking Allah, how has this occurred? Wa inna wa'adaka al-haq, your promise is always true. Allah answers by saying that my promise was your family, meaning the family of faith and the family of truth. And that those who are at variance to it, who combat it, who remove themselves from it, that you must have in your heart a love for Allah, a love for Muhammad, a love for the deen that allows you to accept them with their fault as they are, calling them to truth, while at the same time putting a barrier from their toxicity and kufr entering into your home and infecting others. And it's a very difficult, difficult balance. It's very difficult for me at times to say to somebody whose son is on drugs, living a party life, choosing a way of haram, giving up their salah, revitalizing a nature of haram, that they seek to have everything in a status quo. I can live my life, but I can still live in your home and eat your food, and I'm just like everybody else. And the answer is no. When a person has matured in sin, when a person has made choices that become harmful to you and your family, when a person has taken a path that is causing a degeneration of our iman, removing us from that which is consistent in our heart, detrimental in its effect in our households, there must be effective decisions to keep love between us, but in a conditional sense, that barriers must be drawn and toxic narratives must be put to an end, that they do not hurt and unbalance and make an imbalance in other spheres of our life. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ Subhanallah. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ There is a way for you and there is a way for me. All of this requires hikmah. All of this requires attention to detail. All of this requires to be guided by pious heart. All of this should not be done with callousness or a self-pride, I am better than you. All of this should not be done at the expense of seeing a future better person in them. And I wish to leave with Musa as a final thought. When Musa killed the man in Egypt, it was the reason that led him to the path of prophethood. I want you to think about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the desert to Musa in that mountain when he arrives, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي I cloaked you with my love, ya Musa, even as a young child. I protected you. From the love of Allah to Musa was that Musa would commit that capital crime of taking another soul unjustly. He thought it was justly, but it was in error. Had Musa not done that, he would have remained in Egypt. Had Musa not done that, he would not have led Bani Israel out. Our anger with an individual, our barrier with an individual, is not that we cannot assume they will be better later, but we deal with them as they are today. But our dua is for their betterment into the future. Allah loved Musa even though he had just committed manslaughter. Not for what he had done then or who he was then, but for what he will be, that Allah knows he will be. And such is the barakah of the dua of the mothers of Musa, his true mother and his surrogate mother, his adoptive mother. Such is the barakah of the people of Bani Israel asking for someone to help them, that Allah raises an unlikely character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us the honor of being in the life of those who are difficult, bad characters today to mold them into better characters tomorrow. May Allah never allow our hearts to give up on any of our families in an absolute sense. May Allah allow us to protect ourselves from them, but that we are always callers to them as Nuh was, Ya Bunayya Kab Ma'ana. Oh my son, come on the ship, come to the truth. But I won't let you on without it as a necessity. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَزِدْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects our iman, the iman of our children and our children's children and generations to come. May Allah make you and I regular in our prayers, consistent in our ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow it to be reason and influence for our future generation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to those who are on the fringe of our communities and families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to work in the hearts of those who have turned away from Him to turn them to the truth by His power and leave and hidayah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease and comfort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our Ramadan blessed with hidayah, blessed with His light, blessed with His guidance, blessed with the Quran, blessed with qiyam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our siyam one of the heart and one of the mind and one of the body. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us and not deprive us. May Allah protect us from the suddenness of death in our families and homes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us and not assist others against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift us in our times of sorrow and sadness. Make the Quran a reason for our comfort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our trespasses and our mistakes in life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan a Ramadan of change, a time where we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways better than what we have intended for our own selves, that Allah gives us more hidayah than we thought we could assume and practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the people of the Quran in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. May Allah allow us to live as imams for the communities, calling them to righteousness in our own spheres of influence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us joy and comfort in our children and in our homes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to fulfill your siyam for today, and to break your fast with ease and comfort, that you receive the joy of your fast and on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your breath fragrant with the fasting breath. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us the honor of calling to what the Prophet ﷺ called to what Nuh called to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the sunnah of our Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift us with His tradition and His way and His modality of life. May Allah make us love what He loved and hate what He hated. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire our children to the Quran and its memorization and its practice and its lifestyle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evil that lurks in the dark, the darkness of the hearts of man and the darkness that is in our heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove from us the pain of death and the pain of need towards others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our love unconditional to Him alone, and make us of those who are seeking Him when others have turned away from Him. May Allah make our privacy of greater worth and quality than our public life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our taqwa this month of Ramadan and maintain it for us until another Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli Allahumma ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الشيخ سبحان الله آمين يا رب العالمين. To all your du'as, الله أكبر. Your sessions, you like to leave us speechless, Sheikh, subhanAllah. Our Ramadan is not complete without a du'a from Sheikh Yahya, and subhanAllah, such a groundbreaking lecture. May Allah reward you immensely for inspiring us and for just tuning us in, subhanAllah, over the past hour. May Allah accept from you and your family, and especially right as you're beginning your fast, keep us in your du'as as well as you are in ours. And inshallah, we look forward to seeing you very soon. I know we have you again for Ramadan 360 in about a week or so, and inshallah, we'll be able to benefit again from you. SubhanAllah, you've blown us out of the water this time, and we look forward to having you back on the platform very soon. Please take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll see you very, very soon back on Ramadan 360. For now, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
All right, guys, I hope that you enjoyed that gem, that extra bonus time, alhamdulillah, that we had with Sheikh Yahya. It's so hard to follow anything he does on screen, online, anywhere, subhanAllah, so I'm not even going to try, but I do have a couple of quick reminders for you guys as we jump into the second part of Ramadan 360, day number 4 with Al Maghrib Institute. And yes, inshallah, I had some private messages as well. You will have Sheikh Yahya back on the platform very soon. We'll share the schedule with you guys, or a snapshot of it, of when you can expect him back. But today we are bringing back Sheikh Saad Taslim for our Quran Reflect in just a minute. And before we do that, I did want to remind you guys, especially as you guys are feeling connected and reminded and humbled right now, it's really important to make sure that you channel all of your kind of thoughts and your feelings and emotions into as much good as you can possibly do. And one of the ways that you can do that is by supporting some of the amazing partners that we've paired up with this past month, for this Ramadan, alhamdulillah. And one of them, in Canada, is Islamic Relief Canada. And I'm going to drop the link on Zoom. You guys already have the link here on Facebook, YouTube, everywhere else in the chats or in the description box below. But take a second and please make sure that you're sharing your love this Ramadan by sharing your care for those who are most vulnerable in our ummah, and make sure that your support. They have a lot of different initiatives for your zakah, your sadaqah, your zakat al-fitr, etc. So make sure that you are supporting consistently and as much as you can. Every single dollar, every single little effort makes a massive difference. As well, I want to remind you guys, and I get this question a lot about recordings and this and that, so I want to make sure that those who are, especially here on Zoom, but if you are registering for Ramadan360.org, if you have not already and you're about to, make sure that you do so. I want to make sure that you guys are able to navigate your portal easily, because alhamdulillah, we have now had 4 sessions. Inshallah, the recording for this one is going to be up on your portal soon as well. And I know a lot of people are wondering where to catch what they've missed, so I want to make sure that you guys can quickly see what that looks like. Now, I do want to say one thing. I know nobody watches these welcome videos, because I always give you guys a walkthrough of exactly where to find everything in these welcome videos that I film in the middle of the night. But I will think well of you and assume you guys are all really busy and, you know, mashallah, doing as much as you can to join these sessions. So of course, you guys are logging in through the links that you see here in your schedule. You have your links to your Q&A form for the Fatwa Nights with Sheikh Wareed on Ramadan specific questions here. You have an FAQ right here in the button with a question mark. And then you have your Telegram link also dropped up there, alhamdulillah. You have your resources, so some extra PDFs, the night prayer ebook, which is an amazing one, and then the course binder as well, which is some extra little resources for you guys to connect with the verses that we are covering in the sessions. We've also dropped the Fatwa Nights link there just for your convenience. And then what I keep getting asked about is, of course, your class recordings. So when you click on the recordings tab up here at the top, it'll pop up basically everything that you've registered for. This is a virtual Al Maghrib Institute experience, an interactive virtual class. So I have a lot of interactive virtual classes, so I'm scrolling all the way to the bottom. And this is where you can see the recordings for the previous sessions. My screen's just taking a second to load, but you can see, alhamdulillah, the first session that we had was Sheikh Sana Manhani. We had Sheikh Waleed as well. We have Sheikh Abdul Nasir Jangdaz and Imam Wissam sessions already, alhamdulillah, already uploaded there. So this is where you can find your recordings and you can watch them for lifetime access. You can always go back to them. That's why I recommend those of you who are coming on Facebook and YouTube, alhamdulillah, we leave the recordings up, but it's just a lot more convenient to have them all in one place and just be able to come back to them at the same place as well. Zainab, jazakallah khair for being probably the only person who watches the welcome videos. I appreciate you. All right, bismillah. So I want to jump into the Quran Reflect. We keep changing the name, by the way. We had 2 names last year and I'm still tripping up with them, with Sheikh Saad Taslim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh. I know you've been waiting very, very patiently with us, alhamdulillah. Let me just add you to the screen. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I'm well, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Good to be here. Awesome. Good to be here.
Amazing to have you back. Now, I do have to do one thing before I pass it off to you, inshallah, because sure. We take you for granted in the Al Maghrib world, alhamdulillah. We know who you are. We know all the amazing classes you teach. You've taught, mashallah, online, virtually. You've got your recorded class with Al Maghrib online, mashallah. You're in every aspect of the Al Maghrib world. But I know there are students who are new to the Al Maghrib experience, mashallah, people who are coming in for the first time for Ramadan 360 or who've only ever attended Ramadan 360 and they're curious, who is this Sheikh who's teaching Quran Reflect to us this entire month, mashallah. Can you give us a little bit of your background or a little bit of your story so that we can kind of get to know you a bit better?
I guess I have one of those stories that it's hard to tell a little bit of it. Okay, so I was born in the United States. I was born actually in the South in Georgia. You know, raised in the U.S. In college, and just to fast forward to college, I studied design and psychology. After college, I went to go study at the Islamic University of Medina, where I got a degree in Sharia, in Islamic law. Since graduating from Medina, I've been working with Al-Maghrib, alhamdulillah. I can't believe it's been so long. Actually, it's 10 years now. It's coming up to 10 years. I taught my first class in 2012. So now 2022, subhanAllah, 10 years. And I know the Al-Maghrib, if you go to the Al-Maghrib website, my bio still says fresh, new instructor, young instructor. And I'm like, this is like 10 years old. Like we gotta update this. It says I still wear Converse. I'm a little bit more of like a Vans guy now. But you know, for the most part, it's correct. But yeah, so that's what I've been doing for the past 10 years, basically paying my debt to the knowledge that I have gained. And obviously teaching others and learning with others allows me to retain my knowledge and increase my knowledge as well. Alhamdulillah. So yeah, that's my short Cliff Notes story.
All right, we'll have to get more out of you. I know you have a lot of, mashallah, really beneficial, I think, experiences that we can all learn from. But alhamdulillah, it's lovely to have you teaching us and welcoming us to Quran Reflect every single day. May Allah reward you eventually for all the things that you do within the Maghrib family. We will share more of that, inshallah, later. I know we'll get questions about classes and this and that. We'll keep sharing that throughout the month. But I want to jump in. I know we're a little late, a wee bit, for Quran Reflect today. What verses are we covering today, Sheikh, inshallah?
So yeah, today we are in Surah An-Nisa, and we're covering just one verse, 114. So it's 4:114. So if someone could actually drop the Quran.com link, Quran.com/4/114. You can pop it up on your screen and then you can follow along, inshallah ta'ala.
All right, bismillah.
Bismillah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man walah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to everyone joining us here live. And even if you're listening to this later, I'm glad that you're listening to this, alhamdulillah. As you know, every evening we are in the juz that is to be recited normally in the masjid. So we are in juz number 5 today. Juz number 5 is made up of Surah An-Nisa, verses 24 through 147. And Surah An-Nisa is actually an amazing surah, subhanAllah, and it was really, really hard as I was reflecting upon this surah and the verses for today. It was really hard to just pick one verse or even a collection of verses, but, you know, alhamdulillah, that's the beauty of reflecting on the Quran. There's the whole Quran for us to reflect on. But I chose verse number 114, and so we're going to recite that, inshallah. Do we have, Hafsa, did you pick out a qadi for me today or no? No?
You know, I didn't pick one, but it's very convenient that we have with us. Yeah. Oh, I have someone raising their hand. Actually, we have a few offers. Okay, I was going to put someone on the spot, but you're safe.
No, let's put someone on the spot. Who do you have?
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm down for that.
Brother Abdurrahman Wood from our, he knew it was coming, from our Quran Revolution platform. It is so lovely to have you here as an attendee, inshallah, as a future host, but we would love to have you recite for us, inshallah, as well, for Surah Nisa, verse 114.
First of all, Sheikh Abdurrahman, Jazakallah khair, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure. Actually, for those of you who don't know, I actually just met Sheikh Abdurrahman in Ohio like a week ago. And we had done classes online and we've been talking online. I never met him, but alhamdulillah, we got a chance to meet. So I feel like I know you now, alhamdulillah. So Jazakallah khair.
Well, Jazak Sheikhana, it's amazing to be with you again, alhamdulillah. All right, Surah An-Nisa, ayah 114, correct?
Yes, correct.
All right. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس ومن يفعل ذلك ابتغاء مرضات الله فسوف نؤتيه فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما.
أحسنت. جزاك الله خير. May Allah reward you, everybody. Please make dua for our brother Abdurrahman. May Allah bless him and his family. Allahumma ameen. So let's get into the translation of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لا خير في كثير من نجواهم. Allah says, there is no good. لا خير. There is no good in كثير. كثير. A lot. Most. Most of their najwa. Now, najwa is basically a private conversation. So it is a conversation that is had amongst people that other people are not aware of. So if you're sitting in a gathering with like your boys and stuff, and you're talking about something, that would be considered a najwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no good in most of their private conversations. Illa. Now this is the exception to that. Illa man amara bi sadaqa. Except the one who enjoins charity, أو معروف, أو, or goodness. So except those who, the one who enjoins charity, meaning encourages others to give charity or to be charitable, and the one who enjoins goodness, أو إصلاحٍ بين الناس, or reconciliation between people. So these are the three exceptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned when it comes to our private conversations. And then Allah says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ, whoever does that, ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, seeking the pleasure of Allah, فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, then we will grant them a great reward. And the sawfa, we're going to talk about the significance of that, inshallah ta'ala, but just to get you thinking, sawfa means, and we will, meaning it's in the future, or it's coming. So this is the verse that we have for today. As I said, najwa, first of all, to break down some of the terminology, najwa is that which is a conversation that occurs between people that other people don't have access to. Sadaqa is charity, right? Charity that is given. And our scholars mentioned that this is the form of the of this word, is that it is a general form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say as-sadaqa, the charity. Allah said charity. And that means that it can include a lot of charity or a little bit of charity. And even some scholars have said any type of charity would be included in this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's not a lot of goodness, or there is no goodness in most of what people talk about privately or in their closed conversations, except the one who enjoins or encourages others to give this charity. As we said, this is any type of charity, or they enjoin ma'ruf. Now, ma'ruf is often translated as they enjoin that which is right. Ma'ruf is a concept actually that goes beyond just that which is right. It can cover all types of goodness. And this includes goodness in the shara', meaning goodness which is clearly found in Islam, goodness that is found in the Quran and the Sunnah, and also what is considered good amongst people. So I'll give you an example of this. Nowhere in the Sharia, in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, does it mention that if you're walking out of a building, that and if there's someone behind you, you should hold the door open for them, right? So you should be courteous and basically hold the door, let them come through, hold the door so, you know, basically the door doesn't slam in their face. Now, depending on where you live, and you can put this in the chat, inshallah ta'ala, I don't know if this is a custom where you live, but in the United States, in America, this is a general custom. So it's not something that people, it's not taught. It's just you grow up learning this. So it's considered part of the culture. It's a custom, right? You just learn that's what is considered, what's appropriate. The only exception to that might be New York, maybe New York City. I don't know if it happens in New York. In New York, people, I've had experience where you just let the door slam in your face. But that's New York. And we're going to put New York as the exception. But generally, it's considered good that you hold the door open for the person behind you. Now, Islamically, this, as we said, this is not something which is explicitly mentioned in Islam. But in a way, it is mentioned in Islam because it comes under ma'ruf. Ma'ruf comes from urf. And urf is the custom and the culture, or that which is good from our local custom and culture. So if something is considered good in our local custom and culture, and it doesn't go against Islam, it would come under ma'ruf. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging ma'ruf, that it is included in this category of those who enjoin others to do good. So every now and then, if you follow me on Instagram, I'll post a picture shaming somebody for leaving their grocery cart in the parking lot, right? And obviously, I don't know who did it. It's like a random grocery cart sitting in the parking lot. And it's one of my big pet peeves. And I'm always so annoyed because to me, I'm like, that's so inconsiderate. Like, it takes 2 minutes to put your grocery cart back. And a lot of places here, they have like a little area where you can return your grocery cart, right? So I'm like, come on, this is so inconsiderate. You're just leaving it out there. Number one, it's blocking a parking spot. Number two, it can roll into someone's car and so on and so forth. It always upsets me. And I was like, grab my phone. I'm like, okay, I got to put this on my social media because people got to know, like, public service announcement, like, this is not okay. And so I consider myself, I say, that is one thing that is al-amr bil ma'ruf, right? Enjoining that which is good. So yes, as I said, explicitly not mentioned in Islam, but definitely if it is something that is considered good in the society we live in, and it is, it brings benefit to other people, and it's courteous, alhamdulillah, that is something that we should enjoin. So that is what we're talking about when we say ma'ruf. And in a way, as I said, that is why our deen is so beautiful, because there are matters that are not explicitly mentioned in the Sharia, but they're also mentioned in the Sharia in the sense that Allah has enjoined all types of goodness, even the goodness that we learn from certain cultures, right? For example, in certain cultures, you know, it is considered good to feed other people. Like when you go to a restaurant, like people, and I know some cultures take this overboard, but be the first one to pay, right? Pay for the other person. Be generous in that way. And I know sometimes it goes overboard. People start fighting and stuff. And then people are like, wallahi, you're not going to pay. Like, or wallahi, I'm going to pay. And you're like, come on, man. Why'd you have to say wallahi? Like, you messed this whole situation up or whatever. But yeah, that there's an extreme to that. But in general, this is something which is considered good because it comes from generosity and wanting to feed others and so on and so forth. So once again, this is the beauty of Islam. Islahin baynan nas, to reconcile between people or to reconcile between others. What is beautiful here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say islahin bayn al-mu'mineen or bayn al-muslimin, right? Allah didn't say to reconcile between the believers or between the Muslims. Allah said bayn al-nas, between people. So this includes all types of people. So let's say you're living in a country where Muslims are a minority. I certainly am. And you work with non-Muslims and so on and so forth. If there's a problem happening, let's say in the office, and you can reconcile between two people, that would be considered something which is good, right? And we can juxtapose that to the normal office talk that takes place. Without a doubt, a lot of talk, and I don't know how many of you work in an office, you can put it in the chat, but a lot of times when you work in an office, a lot of najwa happens, right? People are talking amongst themselves. And then unfortunately, a lot of it is backbiting, gossip, slander. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to when Allah says, la khayra fi kathirin min najwahum, that there is no good in the vast majority of these private conversations that take place. There's no good in it, right? The vast majority of it, there's no good in, except Allah mentions these exceptions here. And amongst them is, as we said, reconciling between people. So now imagine we're in an office space where people are talking bad about one another, and the Muslim, the mu'min, the believer comes in and says, you know what? We shouldn't make assumptions. We should think good of people and reconcile. That definitely comes underneath this this verse. So as we said, these are the three exceptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. And then Allah says, whoever does that, وَمَنْ يَفَعَ ذَلِكَ, whoever does that, ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, seeking the reward of Allah or the pleasure of Allah, we will give them a great reward. We will give them a great reward. Now, once again, how do we judge if our conversation is considered good or not? A very easy way to judge it is, because as we said, one of the things we learn from this ayah, one of the reflections we can have on this ayah, is that the vast majority of private conversations that would take place, no good. So, and that, if you remember, we've been talking about how to reflect on these verses. And one of the principles that we've been discussing is personalize this message, right? So put yourself in this position where Allah says, najwahum, in their private conversations, say me. When it says there, it means me. So it is as if Allah is saying, there is no good in the majority of your, or as in my, private conversations. Now we're putting ourselves in this position saying, Allah is talking to me. Allah's talking to me personally. And so how do we get out of this area of blame? Obviously the three exceptions that we have made, but we have a principle that Allah teaches us, or the Prophet ﷺ has taught us, a hadith that many of you, I'm sure, know, mentioned Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, which the Prophet ﷺ said, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. That if you believe, or whoever believes in Allah and the last day, they should say that which is good or remain silent. So now this is a very easy way to judge our private conversations and say, look, is this something that is considered good or not, right? And if it's not, maybe I need to stay silent. And as Sister Nazia mentioned in the chat, yes, leave that which does not concern you. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said, "Min husni islami al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni," that it is from the beautification or the perfection of a person's Islam, their faith, that they leave that which does not concern them. This is mentioned in Sunan at-Tirmidhi, authentic hadith, inshallah ta'ala. Once again, doesn't concern me, stay out of it. And subhanAllah, this is so much of a trial and a test for us, especially now, because the means of private communication, and this is one of my personal reflections I had on this verse, you know, we're talking about personalizing the message. The means of private communication are so much now, right? Social media, messaging, and so on and so forth, that a lot of times, you know, it's even more important that we ask ourselves, like, does this concern me, right? I'm sure many of you heard about the slap incident, right? And I wish I could see everybody's faces when I said that, because that, you know, depending on how you reacted, that means you either heard about it or you didn't hear about it, right? Everybody heard about the slap. You know, the slap is the news, whatever. What was interesting to me was not the slap, but what was interesting to me was the reaction of my brothers and sisters, right? How many brothers and sisters were like, you know what, none of my business, doesn't concern me. Or how many people were like, you know, I got to give my 2 cents. I got to give my opinion. I got to say right and wrong. And what was sad was that there were Muslims who were arguing about this, right? It was a big deal. Muslims going back and forth. And subhanAllah, once again, you know, these are conversations that really have no benefit to us, right? Also, when we talk about reconciliation, okay? Actually, we'll get to that, inshallah. So as we said, how do we judge our conversations? Very quickly, the Prophet ﷺ gave us clear guidance on how to judge our conversations. What else do we learn from this? We learn the greatness that is involved in enjoining good upon others. So we learn that our deen is not just a deen where we're like, listen, you know, it's just me and doesn't matter what's happening around me. We care about the people who are around us, especially because we care about the society as a whole, right? And so when we see wrong, it is important that we, with knowledge and with understanding and with wisdom, that we're able to say, you know what, this is not right, this is not okay. This is known as al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa nahi al-munkar, to enjoin that which is good. And as we said, ma'ruf includes that which is good in society as well. Wa nahi al-munkar, to discourage people from doing that which is considered bad. And so the greatness of that is mentioned in this verse. Also the importance of reconciliation, and how this is an important aspect of our deen, to reconcile, to bring people together. And that's part of our character as a whole. And this, you know, this surah as a whole, yes, it's called Surah An-Nisa, right? It deals with one of the reasons it's called that, because a lot of the rulings that are mentioned here addresses women, and it deals with, you know, women's issues and so on and so forth. But also another one of the themes of this surah is society as a whole, right? And that is speaking about really the importance of women in society and so on and so forth. But beyond that, it's the importance or how to bring about goodness in society, and the importance of goodness in society and the community that we're living in as a whole. And that's why we see that there are repercussions. And I don't want to give away an answer to a question I'm going to ask you soon, inshallah. But that's one of the themes here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. Another point of reflection here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَفَعْلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, that whoever does these three things, seeking the reward of Allah, then we will give them, Allah says, a great reward. What we learn from that is that if these three things are done for other than the sake of Allah, or that is not one's intention. So let's say someone does these three things, right? They enjoin others to give charity or to be charitable, they enjoin goodness, and they reconcile between people, but their intention isn't, they're not doing it for the sake of Allah, they're just doing it for, you know, it doesn't have to be a bad intention. Let's say they're doing it for someone's sake, right? Let's just say there is still goodness in it. How do we learn that? So once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn from this verse that even if you don't do it for the sake of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah, there is still goodness in it. I make this statement, but my question is, how do we know that? And the answer is in this verse. I want you to take a look at this verse once again and tell me, how do we learn from this verse that even if someone is doing it without seeking the pleasure of Allah, there is still benefit in it. There's still goodness in it. Where is the proof for that in this verse? Bismillah. You can raise your hand. And Sister Hafsa is here. She can call on you, inshallah. How many hands up? Bismillah. Okay. So how do we learn in this verse that even if someone is not doing it, seeking the pleasure of Allah, there is still benefit and there's still good in it? Where do we learn that from? Bismillah.
I see Zainab from Singapore has got her hand up. Zainab, go ahead.
Bismillah.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. I think the it's in and whoever does this, the word and over there. So even if you don't seek Allah's pleasure, you will still get a reward. But if you do it with the intention of seeking Allah's pleasure, then there will be extra reward. So that's how I see this verse.
Very good. So I just got to tweak your answer just a little bit. You're halfway there. You're halfway correct. A reward comes from Allah. So if we want reward, it has to be done for the sake of Allah. But goodness, khair, can still be there. We learned that as our sister mentioned, in this verse, Allah says there is la khair. There's no good in private, in most of their private conversations, except for these three things, right? And then Allah says, wa, and wa may yaf'al dhalik, and the one who does it, seeking Allah's pleasure, then there is a great reward for them. Meaning that's like, there's goodness in this life, there's goodness that occurs, there's benefit that happens in this life. And then if you're doing it for the sake of Allah, then also there's reward in it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So excellent, excellent point right there. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. I was hoping somebody would get that. And someone got that, alhamdulillah. So let's jump into now some more of the principles of reflection that we're talking about this month. So one of the things that I believe I mentioned this principle before, but paying attention to the word choice and the word placement. So one of the things that we can look at here, one of the words that can stand out is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fasawfa, that the one who, as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who does this, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ whoever does this, whoever does that, ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ seeking the pleasure of Allah, فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And سَوْفَ means, in Arabic, it's really hard to translate because it means then Allah will, meaning in the future. Allah could have said, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ نُؤْتِهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, that whoever does this, seeking the pleasure of Allah, we will give them a great reward. But Allah said fasawfa, meaning in the future we will give them a great reward. What is the significance of that word sawfa or fasawfa, and then in the future? Bismillah. Let's get you to reflect on this verse. Bismillah. Any hands?
I see Nadine from Dallas. Nadine, let's hear from you, inshallah. Go right ahead and unmute yourself.
I'm not sure what it means exactly, but like you said that it means when, so it just kind of changes the perspective, I think. It changes, I'm not sure how to explain it, but it makes it different.
So fasofa means in the future, okay? We'll just make it easy on ourselves, right? Even though that doesn't fully encompass the meaning, but to make it easy on ourselves, in the future, right? In the future, coming up, coming soon, or coming up, Allah says we will give them a great reward. So once again, what is the significance? Why mention that? What is the significance of that? How does that add to this verse? Bismillah.
I guess I'll ask someone else.
Okay, no problem. Jazakallah khair.
I see Inaya as well. Inaya, give it a shot, inshallah. Feel free to unmute. Bismillah.
So I was thinking, perhaps, is it referring to the future in Akhirah, where you can be rewarded either in this dunya, or it can be in Akhirah. So
in terms of tafsir, in terms of understanding, the first meaning absolutely is the Akhirah. So when Allah says fasawfa, that is referring to the Akhirah. And yes, there's reward in this life as well. Allah can reward us in this life, without a doubt. But the reward is in the Akhirah. So what meaning does that add to this verse?
to your rank?
To, okay, what do you
mean? Rank in Jannah. Because essentially, how much good we do at the end of the day, that it does decide kind of where we would be in Jannah. Because that's the goal, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. It can raise our rank.
Am I not going where you're thinking?
Huh?
I'm not going where you're actually the point.
No, you're not incorrect. Yes, obviously it can raise our rank. But in terms of adding meaning for us, right? If you think about that word, like what meaning do we, what added benefit do we get from that word? Is that question clear?
No, I think it would just confuse a little bit. So.
Okay. Do we have any other hands up? Maybe someone else.
No. One person who's trying to attempt. Let's see. Hanan, let's hear from you, inshallah, as well. Go right ahead and unmute. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I was thinking about Ilkulmin, the importance of ikhlas, like trusting that Allah will reward you. Because even if you do it for the pleasure of Allah, Allah is going to reward for us. And if you do it for like to appear good in the eyes of the people, then it shows that our action is like sincerity or ikhlas. So it is to be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching over us.
Absolutely. So here's the thing, right? And that's a beautiful reflection. It's a beautiful point here. So when you think about that, the reward is for the akhirah. And what Allah is saying, that if you seek the pleasure of Allah, then you're seeking the reward of the akhirah. Because in this life, we may not always see the benefit, right? We may not always see the reward of it. And especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about islahin bayna nas, right? Causing reconciliation between people. And even the other things, right? Enjoining good, encouraging someone to give charity. Someone could be like, I've been in this situation personally. You stand up, someone's like, okay, I'm invited to a fundraiser. Sheikh, could you please give a talk and whatever. And people are like, man, another fundraiser? Man, just, especially Ramadan, right? Tarawih, halfway during Tarawih, a lot of masajid. I'm sure you deal with this all the time. Someone stands up, brothers and sisters, especially on Fridays, right? Fridays, Saturdays, masajid, they're full. And so like, that's where the fundraisers happen. And it was like, oh, come on, man. Like, we just want to pray. We want to get out of here. Come on, man. Like, and some people get upset, right? Oh, we're here to pray. That's not what the masjid is for. You're always asking for money, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, fasawfa, right? Maybe not now. Now you may not see the benefit of it, but in the future, you will see the benefit of it. And even subhanAllah, we can see that when it comes to dua, it's very similar, right? If we're only looking for reward or goodness, right? Because Allah said, la khayra, there's no goodness. And so that means goodness. We're seeking goodness. Okay. In our dua, sometimes we don't see the goodness. And sometimes a long time can pass. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, mentioned Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, that your dua will continue to be answered as long as you don't say, I prayed. And actually, this hadith mentioned three times. First said, da'aut wa da'aut wa da'aut, right? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I don't think Allah will answer my prayer. I don't think Allah will answer my dua, right? Until that moment, their dua is going to be answered, right? Why? Because it may be one of the reasons, it may be the dua, the answer if the dua is in the afterlife. Or maybe Allah is protecting, it's some wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't know about. So that rush in seeking that goodness, and sometimes we give up doing acts of goodness because we're in the rush. We say, what's the point of calling people to goodness when nobody listens to me? Right? And sometimes parents do this with their kids. Ah, I tell my kids to pray, they don't listen. Or I've taught my kids right from wrong, and they're not listening. It may be that it clicks after a few years. It may be that in their most difficult, their most desperate moment, they remember the guidance that their parents gave them. And in that moment, it clicks, right? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, like it's the future, thinking about the future is important to our sincerity. Y'all got that? What do y'all think? Good? Do we have any other reflection on this? Fasawfa? I see we have a couple hands up.
I saw Asma had her hand up as well. Although, you know what? Just a side point. Just let me come on.
Sure.
We are going to prioritize from people from now on who have their locations next to their name and who have, ideally, if you can, your videos on. Just because it adds a lot to the experience. Because I know, Asma, where are you from? Inaya, I know you're from Virginia, but because that's you used to have your location on. It helps so much for the experience. I know I can relate to Tassandra because she's from Toronto, my hometown. I know Nazia is coming up late in the UK. I know Mustafa is chilling in the middle of the day in Salt Lake City. So it helps to feel connected, alhamdulillah. So please just take a second to do that when you come into every session. Add your locations, inshallah. But let's, who is it? Asma. Oh, and she's got her camera on. See, it worked. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. So I was, by the way, Sister Afsa, I did put my location on the first day, but I didn't know I had to do it every day.
Yeah, every day, inshallah, until we memorize it, inshallah.
Okay, so I was going to ask, is it like in Surah Doha, where Allah Ta'ala says, wala sofa yutika, so surely I will grant you and you will be content or radi?
Yes. Yes, so, yes. And once again, the idea is so that now you start thinking about these words in the Quran, right? Like, why is Allah saying sofa in the future? Why not now? Right? So regarding this verse, so you have a reflection as well, or is it just a question?
Well, I was saying that are these three deeds one that you would get rewarded in the dunya and the akhirah? Like you will see the benefit of it? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, so we can see the benefit of it, right? And sometimes we don't see the benefit either, right? We may see Allah says, la khaira, right? There's no good except in these three things when it comes to private conversations. Even the goodness we may not see. But even if we see the goodness, we don't want to be just content with the goodness. And that's what separates a believer from someone who is not a believer. Because a believer can say, okay, I achieved my goal. I got the goodness, right? These two people were fighting, and you know what? I reconciled between the two of them. They're best friends now. They're besties. Good to go. A believer is like, alhamdulillah, that's good, but I also want reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And that is, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again, I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but when Allah says, ajran azeema, right? An immense, a great reward. Why didn't Allah just say ajr? Fasawfa nu'tihi ajr, or ajra, right? We'll give them ajr. Isn't ajr from Allah great anyway? But Allah emphasizes, said, ajran azeema, a great reward, because the reward of the akhirah is always azeem, amazing, great, compared to any, whatever goodness we may attain in this life. And that involves all the work we do. And I often say, even like, you know, social justice work, for example, someone's involved in social justice work. And we have a lot of young Muslims who are involved in social justice. Alhamdulillah, it's awesome, it's great. But we have to be doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has to be our end goal. Because what is the difference between a social justice worker who is not Muslim and a social justice worker who is Muslim? Is it just the outcome, and are we just worried about? No. A Muslim knows that the outcome is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a Muslim knows that their ultimate reward is from Allah. And that is actually their source of strength. So regarding these three issues, and you know, we're kind of reflecting on this reflection, alhamdulillah, which is the goal here. A person may give up when they don't see the goodness in this life. Because, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I encourage someone to give charity. They didn't do it, right? I encourage goodness and nobody's listening to me. What's the point? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now reminding us of the future that we're all headed to, right? And the reward of that is way more, is grand, is immense compared to any type of goodness we would attain in this life. Alhamdulillah. Very good. Okay, let's move on to another reflection, inshallah ta'ala, or another point of reflection. So we said one of the principles of reflection is to be curious, right? So we said, you know, obviously pay attention to the word and the word placement, but also be curious. What your curiosity should be, and I'm sure some of you are already thinking about this since we have now been reflecting for a couple of days, but your curiosity should have already peaked, and you should have thought about what do these three things have to do with private conversation, right? What is the relationship between a najwa, private conversation, and these three things? What is the relationship there? Bismillah.
Arhia from Minnesota, let's let you give a go, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
Usually some people, like, you know, if you're doing these to gain the attention of people, it's like, hey, I'm doing it for attention rather than like I'm seeking the pleasure of Allah. So it's saying, keeping it secret and keeping it like, hey, I feel like.
Okay. So what we're talking about here is, you know, so the subject matter here is private conversations. I said conversations that are had away from other people or in a particular gathering. So in a sense, you know, if this was not being live streamed, we would be in a Najwa right now. All of us, I don't know how many people are here, you know, a couple hundred people, even though it's a large number, but this, if nobody else was listening, it would be a enclosed environment. This would be a private conversation. And so likewise in our homes, right? When we sit down with our family, we talk, that's private conversation. As I say, we sit down with your friends and you have a conversation with them, private conversation. You go to a coffee shop, you have a private conversation. These are private conversations. And and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that most of those conversations, there's no good in it, except for these three things. Now, what is special about these three things that make them an exception? Follow? Bismillah. You have your hands up?
Naya's got her hand up, but I don't know if it was for the previous question. So I think let's clear the hands. And if anyone has a reflection still, please do raise your hand again, inshallah. There's some great comments coming in from the chat, but we'd love to hear from you guys. Okay, Farhia's wanting to reflect still. Let's hear from her again.
Well, so now I understand. I think this is because we're giving like kindness. We're basically helping an individual understand things rather than like, you know, unmeaningful conversation. Like sometimes I'll catch up with my friends about life and whatnot, and that can just be a private conversation. Whereas, and if it is based on, hey, we're reflecting on something, or we're meeting this, like we're having this private conversation based on kindness. So like if that kind of thing is, I think, where the meaningful thing comes in, rather than like, hey, let's catch up on life, you know, that private conversation. Whereas if you're even like, if it is private, like you're telling your kid to pray and all of this, it's more like, hey, I'm doing it in like, so that I can, with the pleasure of Allah, keeping that in mind that I'm doing this for the sake of Allah, not because I want to have meaningless conversation with you.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. Excellent. And I'm smiling because I'm so happy to hear you reflecting. And then no one told this to you, right? You thought about this yourself, sister? You didn't look this up anywhere in like online or a book of tafsir or anything. This is something you came to on your own,
right?
Okay. So what you're doing is tadabbur al-Quran. You're reflecting upon the Quran and you're bringing meaning to your life through the Quran, right? So, you know, we can also, another way to ask this question is to think about the relationship between these three things. Like what do these three things have in common? And so the answer is beautiful, that you're benefiting this person. What happens in the bad conversations? What happens when you're backbiting people? May Allah protect us. Or when we're slandering, or when we're gossiping, we are harming one another. So if I sit with, let's say me and Abdurrahman are sitting, right? Me and brother Abdurrahman, we're sitting, we're talking, we're like talking about this person and that person and so on and so forth, right? I'm harming him and he's harming me. Because we are encouraging now, we are helping one another in something which is bad. And the bad is not something that just stays with us. It continues, right? Because now gossip spreads and so on and so forth. And now, so instead of harming harming each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning three exceptions where we bring benefit to people, right? So all three things, when we do, we're benefiting the person that we are sitting with. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ, right? Except the one who enjoins, right? Allah didn't say, إِلَّا مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ عَنْ. Allah could have said, except people when they talk about such, no, Allah said when they enjoin, right? Meaning they're enjoining the other person. It's not just, you know, that you're talking about something, they're enjoining something on the other person. What are they enjoining? Sadaqah, charity, being charitable. That only benefits this person. And once again, the benefit goes beyond that person. Because I encourage someone to give charity, they're going to give charity to other people, people benefit and so on and so forth. Also, ma'ruf, goodness, right? Goodness, now you're encouraging the person to be good. You have to be good. How do you be good? Even the examples that I gave, you know, holding the door open for somebody. And that's just, by the way, those are examples that are not clearly mentioned in the Sharia. Even there are other examples, but all those examples that I mentioned other people are benefiting from it, right? You know, you encourage someone, I said, you know, should hold the door open for the person behind you, or you put your cart back, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Other people are, so this person is benefiting, other people are benefiting as well. And reconciliation, islah, right? So reconciliation, now we're benefiting these people. And subhanAllah, it could be that a person's having a problem with somebody else. And I'm sorry, Sheikh Abdurrahman, to keep bringing you up as my example. I just see you on my screen, so I keep picking on you. And I know you can take it, so it's okay. Let's say, you know, Brother Abdurrahman and Sister Hafsa, I think you guys through Al-Maghrib, they're having a problem, right? And Sister Hafsa's not here. And so I say, you know, Sheikh Abdurrahman, you know, you should really, you know, whatever, give her benefit of the doubt, whatever, whatever. She, you know, sometimes she says things, you know, whatever. whatever it is, right? And now, subhanAllah, Sheikh Abdurrahman, Brother Abdurrahman is benefited, and also Sister Hafsa can benefit because now she gets the benefit of that.
Why am I the problematic one? Why couldn't it be Abdurrahman in this hypothetical?
It's all hypothetical. None of this is real, right? None of this is real. Alhamdulillah. I don't want to say anything else, but I'm gonna leave it at that, inshallah. Right? So now, Brother Abdurrahman, he benefits, and Sister Hafsa benefits, even though she's not there. Even though it's a private conversation between me and Sheikh Abdurrahman, she's not there, but she benefits as well. Right? So this is the beauty here, subhanAllah, of these three. And this, when you think about it, like, what do these three things have in common? And how does that relate to private conversations? Okay, so very good. Can we hear? And I know we're way out of time, subhanAllah. But let's get at least maybe one or two, because I do see some hands up. And I love hearing these reflections, because I personally, like, it benefits me as well, subhanAllah. So let's see.
Alrighty, I saw a new hand and then I lost it. So alhamdulillah, we've had a couple of shares, mashallah, from Sister. Oh, Firdosa, go right ahead. Bismillah. Firdosa from Dublin, feel free to unmute yourself, inshallah.
Yeah,
assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum. I just got to ask, I'm sorry. Is it Dublin, Ohio, or Dublin, Ireland?
It's Dublin, Ireland.
Okay, Ireland. Alhamdulillah. We have a Dublin here in the US as well. I recently learned this, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking about how it also, just from the ayah, looking about how encouraging to do good, it also talks about the company we keep, the kind of the people around us, what kind of friendships we have with them, and that the kind of people who remind us to be on the, like, to remind us about Allah and the deen, are they the people who are trying to lead us astray? So one or the other, that's what I saw from this, like the companionship and the kind of company we keep with us.
Very good. Very good. Excellent point. So when Najwa is mentioned, right, these private conversations, we have private conversations with people that are close to us, right? That's why the conversations are private. And then we got to ask ourselves, and please correct me if I'm wrong in presenting what you presented, but this is what I understood from your comment, sister, or your reflection, that this verse pushes us to ask ourselves, are the people in my private conversations, are they encouraging, number one, are they people, are we encouraging one another to do good? And number two, am I, in these private conversations, a type of person who will encourage good?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Right.
Very good. Right. Alhamdulillah. Beautiful, beautiful. Let's take one or two more, inshallah.
Beautiful. I see Masouda from South Africa. Let's hear from you, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I think the one thing that really... it has been playing on my mind, rather, is that you have private conversations with those people whom you are most closest to.
Right.
So in those moments, you are more susceptible to gossiping, you're more susceptible to backbiting, to talking about everyone else, to indulging in every other type of sin at this point in time. So in those private conversations, to then remind one another of kindness or being good, or, you know, of just trying to even just try to, you know, facilitate a way instead of instigating, because what happens is you become the cheerleader and literally you on the person more than anything else. And you be there, like, you could either be playing both sides where you're listening to both and you in your mind, just, well, I'm listening to her and I'm listening to him and I'm trying to be able to, you know, make them see eye to eye, but actually you're not really doing much besides being the instigator. So in that instance, absolutely, those private conversations, like the ayat mentions, there would be no khair in it. There would be no goodness in it.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Excellent, excellent point. Beautifully put. Jazakallah khair. And then we'll take one last one, inshallah, one last one for today.
I see Asna ul Husna. I'd love to hear from you, inshallah. Please unmute yourself and share.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, actually, my own is more like a question and it's more like a reflection.
Okay.
So, okay, now I have a friend that he's a Muslim, but he hardly practiced like that. So at some point, his five daily prayer was not really consistent like that. So after we became very good friends, he understand that I practice as much as I can to my own capacity. So his five daily prayer changes. Then I got to understand that he actually cannot even recite the Quran. So I asked him, whenever he prays, what does he recite? He said the basic surahs that he knows. So in another essence, I advise him to kind of register into Islamic school to learn and stuff like that. He promised to do that at some point. I was like, actually, it's not for me. It's for your own benefit and stuff. And then later on, I noticed he started deviating and he wasn't interested in it. So I went to meet my mom because like sister from South Africa said that you get to have conversation like this with close relatives. So I went to meet my mom because she's the Amira. So I told her about the whole thing and I'm like, I'm actually clueless about what to do because I have been trying different strategy and all. Then she's like, we're talking about him behind. It's kind of not nice, but I think let him do what he can do. So I don't know what to call that. Should I call that backbiting or should I call that, I don't know.
So that's a really good question. It would have been excellent for Sheikh Ali during Fatwa night to ask him a question like that. Alhamdulillah. So backbiting, the general definition of backbiting is to say something about someone that they wouldn't like for you to say about them. Now, there are some exceptions to that. Seeking advice and counsel about how to talk to someone is one of the exceptions, but it is a little bit of a gray area in an instance like this. We have to be very, very careful that we don't cross the line of it falling into just speaking ill of the person, right? So seeking counsel. So in that case, you should seek counsel, not from anyone, but from a person of knowledge, a type of person who will tell you, you know what, I think now it's becoming backbiting, like you got to stop, right? So that's why don't go to your friend, don't go to someone who's not knowledgeable, because they may say, oh yeah, tell me about this person's problem. And then you start talking, you know, they do this and do this. And or you, like, for example, I say, I want to help someone become a better Muslim, right? Let me tell you all the bad stuff they do because, you know, I want them to be a better Muslim. And they start talking about they do this and they do this and do this. And now that's problematic. A person of knowledge would say, hold on. Like, don't give me like this long list of things. You know, they would steer the conversation hopefully in a direction where you can avoid backbiting. Wallah a'lam. Not really reflection. We got to keep these two reflections. Kind of a reflection, I guess, in a sense. But I guess we'll end there, inshallah ta'ala. I know we're way past the time. Jazakumullah khair to everyone who shared, everyone who attended, and thank you for reflecting on the Quran with me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your recitation of the Quran. May Allah accept from you your recitation and your reflections on the Quran. Allahumma ameen. I'll be back tomorrow, inshallah. I used to say same time, but you know, sometimes there's a little bit of a delay. Hopefully same time, inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Saad, jazakumullah khair for reflecting and inspiring us over the past hour, inshallah. And to everyone who made such amazing contributions and who added their locations near the end of the session as well. We're going to see you all tomorrow, but a couple of quick reminders right before we close off, inshallah. First of all, I did drop earlier the link, and I do want you to make sure to remind you guys to stay consistent with your support as you are navigating the month of Ramadan and support the amazing friends that we have at Islamic Relief in Canada, Helping Hands in the US, HHRD in the US, and Forgotten Women in the UK. I'm going to drop Islamic Relief's link again, and everyone else who's coming in on socials, you guys can find it in your description. One thing I did want to highlight before we left, and I'll mention it a couple times in this month, but I know that the window for this is closing, so I wanted to share it before it was too late, and that is something that I know, subhanAllah, we are a lot of Muslims struggle with. It's a pillar of our faith, but it's hard to get consistent and it's hard to get beautiful and to fall in love with this aspect of worship. And that, of course, is your salah. And alhamdulillah, one of our favorite instructors who's going to be on Ramadan 360 coming up very soon, inshallah, Sheikh Ammar Shukri, spent the last year or so preparing the most profound, mind-boggling course that I have ever taken on the beautiful mindfulness in salah, subhanAllah. I don't want to take too much time, but I want you guys to make sure that you take some time to visit maghrib.online and check this out, especially those who feel like you struggle with khushu in salah. That's one of the main questions that we get in a lot of Q&A sessions. How do you get khushu in salah? How do you stay consistent in salah? I've been struggling with this for X amount of years, and it's the most consistent act of worship that we're doing on a daily basis, but it's hard to get it right. It's one of those things that's like weight loss and making money and whatnot, those lifelong goals that is so hard to tackle and to love and to enjoy and to succeed at. So if you're someone who feels distracted in your salah, if you're someone who, you know, has trouble getting khushu, who finds that, you know, you kind of black out, you do your salah, you do Allahu Akbar, and then you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you have no idea what happened in between that time. And even if someone, you know, you hit, it's hit and miss, sometimes you have some great salah, sometimes you really struggle with them, you go through ebbs and flows, you really want to make sure that you take this course, because there's so many different tricks and tips that Sheikh Ammar gives us to make the most out of our salah. And every type of individual, the more legit logical ones, the people who are like very distracted, who are very imaginative, the people who are really just tired all the time or procrastinators, any kind of struggle that you have with your salah, you'll find like 10 different ways to tackle it. So it's very, very, very inspiring. Check out maghrib.online to find out more about it, inshallah. And it's closing in just a few days. So please do not hold off or don't wait too long on it. And especially in the month of Ramadan, when you're trying to make sure that your ibadah is perfect and that you're getting as much ajr and you're getting as much acceptance out of it as possible, you don't want to lose out on getting your accepted salahs. So that's the final reminder. Jazakallah khair. Fariza has dropped it here in the chat. Everyone else who's coming, again, it's maghrib.online. And we will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we are going to be having with us Star Siblings is the topic, and we have with us Sheikh Ammar Hadrooj, one of our youngest newest instructors, alhamdulillah, at Al Maghrib Institute. We're going to be joining him at the same time, 5 p.m. EST. Jazakallah khair for being with us for day number 4 of Ramadan 360, and we will see you on day number 5, inshallah ta'ala. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and